go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did ya? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow. Now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast. With host Eddie Trunk.
What's up, everybody? It's Eddie Trunk, and welcome to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. New every Thursday, wherever you get your podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you do not miss an episode. And all you got to do for more information is go to SiriusXM.com/TrunkNation. Find out how you can listen to the radio show every day and audio, video, a whole lot more. It's all there for you. Again, SiriusXM.com/TrunkNation. This week, I'm going to bring you an interview that I did with the members of Scorpions. Well, two of them, at least. The two guitar players from the band, Matthias Jabs and Rudolf Schenker. Both joined me in the brand new SiriusXM studios in Las Vegas just after the first show of their residency, which is happening right now at the Backed Theater in Vegas. So maybe you're headed out to a show. You're going to go see the guys soon. They're there through early May. I get a chance to hear a little bit about what they're doing, celebrating Love at First Sting's 40th anniversary, and a whole lot more. So it was great to have these guys drop by. Great to spend some time with them. And we will get you that interview here in a second. Before we go to the interview, though, I just want to give a big thanks to everybody that I met at the cruise that Creed put on, their reunion cruise called Summer of 99. Just came off of that, and at the time you're hearing this, I'm getting ready to also host the second one, two Creed reunion cruises, a big, big return for the band, and they've got a big, big tour coming up this year as well. It was great to do some Q&A with the guys, see the guys, spend time with them, and also all the other great bands that were on the ship as well. So looking forward to the next one, which is coming up, sailing this coming Saturday. So if you're going to be on board, hope to see you. If not, I'll give you recaps, of course, on the radio show. Listen to me daily, Trunk Nation, Faction Talk, SiriusXM Channel 103, live daily, 3 to 5 Eastern, noon to 2 Pacific, or anytime, audio, video, or more, available on the SiriusXM app. All right, let's get you to the interview this week. Again, Klaus and Matthias from Scorpions. This was the day after they kicked off their latest residency in Vegas. Great seeing the guys. Great chatting with them. There will be full video of this interview as well on the SiriusXM app very, very soon. Let's give you the audio right now on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. These guys just got here for their second residency here in Vegas, which kicked off last night inside Planet Hollywood. Since they played there last, the name of the theater changed. It's the same place, but it's now called the I think Bakht is how it's pronounced, B-A-K-K-T. I don't know. But anyway, it's inside Planet Hollywood. You know the theater. And of course, I'm talking about the legendary Scorpions. We have Matthias here. Good to see you.
Hey, Eddie. Good to see you.
You good? Let me make sure. Let me fix this so you get right up.
Okay.
There, now we hear you perfectly. And Rudolph Schenker down on the end. Rudy, how are you?
Good, Eddie. How are you?
Good, good.
Yes, yeah, it's a good, nice place.
Yeah, we got a new spot here.
I can ask.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, I don't own it. Trust me, I don't own it. I just work from here. I don't own it. It's not my place. I wish I owned this place.
Anyway, to sit here is already a nice thing.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I made the show last night. Fantastic. It was great to see the band play Love at First Sting in its entirety and a bunch of other great stuff as well. We'll start with you, Matthias. How did it feel for the first show? I'm sure first show is a little jitters, right?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't played in 7 or 8 months. We finished the tour last year, end of July, somewhere in Portugal. And so now having a whole new set, being slightly rusty still, but it went very, very well. I was very happy last night.
I didn't, from the audience, feel, I know musicians have a different perspective than the audience, but from the audience, it sounded and looked well rehearsed, like you'd never know it was the first time. It was
good.
Killer out front. How about you, Rudy? How'd you feel about show one?
I mean, I tell you one thing, to rehearse well, it sounds great, but it sometimes can be boring. So in a little bit of, you don't know. It's very good because it gives you more tension. And also for the people, it's not so perfect, well-done show. You know, it's rock and roll. Had nothing to do with perfection. Rock and roll is a feeling and energy.
100% couldn't agree more. Sometimes that spontaneity, sometimes a little mistake or something, it's the feel of a real live rock show. That's what it's always about, I think.
Exactly.
And but I honestly felt it was very smooth. Until you said that, I thought maybe you're out doing this around the world. I didn't know that was first last night.
Very first show this year. Yeah.
Did you come to Vegas much earlier to rehearse, or did you do it in Germany or something?
We rehearsed in Germany for like 5 days, and then we flew into LA first, and, you know, to overcome the jet lag. It's a 9 hours difference. And, you know, we always come from Europe when we are here in the US. And that's why we needed a couple of days extra to adjust to the time.
Rudy, playing Love at First Sting, which is 40 years old, it's remarkable that it's that many years already. Yeah. It's crazy.
Time is running. It's unbelievable.
It really is. I would venture to say, I would think I'm safe in saying this, it's the biggest Scorpions record in the catalog probably, right, in terms of sales?
That's a question. Which country you're talking about?
America.
No? America, yes. 100%, yeah. Yes.
It's not so much in other parts of the world?
No, of course, yes. But when you talk about overall sales.
Yeah. I mean, think Crazy World sold more than worldwide.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because of Wind of Change, obviously. Yeah. And I've said this so many times, you guys are huge internationally, huge globally. So obviously there's different markets, but here in America, for sure. I mean, as we know, the band really broke on Blackout, the previous record, and then Love at First Sting went to a whole nother level.
There was no one like you in 83.
Yeah.
The most played rock song in the United States.
Yeah. And then Love at First Sting hits and Rock You Like a Hurricane and Still Loving You, and things go really crazy. MTV's really big at that point. Exactly. So they play a huge role. When did you have the idea to celebrate 40 years by playing the record in its entirety?
I tell you one thing, by accident, you know, it came somehow to us. We never would think about it, but people came to us and said, hey, it's 40 years. You can do something with it. It's a very successful album. Let's think about it. And we did, and we said, yeah, great idea. Let's do it. And it's something for us also to go not on the road again with the same new latest album. It's something which we can look back and show also that rock is not only a one-day wonder. Rock, it's a lifetime statement.
Yeah, do you plan to do this? Now, I know you just started here in Vegas and you're here through early May, but do you plan to do Love at First Sting in its entirety around the world or just here?
No, we said when we are doing it, then we do it worldwide because 40 years is not
only
America.
So you're taking it on the road from here.
Yes.
It's gonna,
yeah.
And for you, we'll start with you on this one, Matthias. There are songs on the record, obviously, that you've played probably every time since the record was released. Rock You Like a Hurricane, things like that. Bad Boys Running Wild, all that. But what is, you got something like Crossfire on here or something that maybe you've, I don't know if you've ever played it. There's probably two, three songs you've never played live, right?
Right.
Which ones?
Crossfire is one of them. The Same Thrill. And I'm Leaving You, for example, but I'm not sure if we tried it years and years ago and then left it out. But we played it, all those songs last night, and it was good.
I'm surprised to hear you say I'm Leaving You, because that was a huge song, at least here in America.
Exactly. Yeah, we had the video with it also.
Yeah, but still, we never had it in the set, as far as I remember. I don't think so.
Yeah, and the last time you guys played here, 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, somebody told me that the last residency was, you were only doing Still Loving You like every other show, I think. The nights I went, you didn't do it. And that's a huge song, and now that's got to be in every time.
Because we played, I think, No One Like You, because No One Like You was very big here in the United States. And
yeah, we played that in the encore.
Yeah.
And sometimes Still Loving You, but now we play it every night because it's on part the record. Of Love at First Thing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How do you go about sorting out the set list for a Scorpion show after making music for 55 years, 54 years, the total catalog? I mean, to sit down and try to figure out, you've got fans like me and so many fans around the world, you got to do this one, you didn't do this one.
Yeah.
How do you even begin to 100-minute set, obviously? How do you narrow it down? Is it what you guys want to play at this point, or there's songs you have to play? Like, what's the balance? How do you do it?
The most important point is that the songs are very good, playable on stage. This is the most important point. We have a feeling when we play the song, yeah, this makes sense and this kicks ass, and also we have fun with. That's the most important point.
And also, I mean, if you have a new record which you want to support, then you obviously pick new songs, like Rudolf said, which are playable. And this time, we thought we start with a song from Love the First Thing, of course.
Coming home. Beautiful, amazing opening. Because you don't even see Klaus, you just hear the vocal, and then he walks out, and then the song kicks in. It's so great to open like that.
Yeah, and then you try to find like dynamic differences between like, you know, some couple fast songs to get the show going. And then we always have a slow part with our ballads in the middle of the set, roughly. And then we try to, like, you know, find a great ending. And obviously, encores are special, too.
What about the guitar part that you do, Matthias, in the show? You do a song, an instrumental song.
Yes.
And another guitar player comes out. What is his name?
It's Ingo. He's my guitar tech.
Okay.
And, that's a song I've written for the MTV Unplugged album, which we recorded in like 10 years ago. And unfortunately, it was never released in the US.
Mm.
And it's called MTV Unplugged, and it's in Athens. And we recorded it there. And we had like a show, like 3 hours for songs. So I said, okay, I write a new instrumental to give Klaus a break, because the show was so long that it's not easy for a singer to sing for 3 hours. And then we made an electric version out of it. And we have that in the song, in the show, since a couple of years, and it goes down well.
How is Klaus? Because last night I thought he sounded fantastic. You guys had to cancel some shows, and he said something on stage last night about, I've been through some stuff lately. Is he okay? Is Klaus, did he go through some medical stuff or vocal stuff? Or
he just has to rest today because we play again tomorrow night.
No, but I mean overall, because you had to cancel some shows not too long ago, right?
With the Mexican festival, actually.
Right.
That would have been the first show of this year. And he had a surgery on his back and the knee, and but that's all good.
Okay, because he looked good and sounded great. And
nothing to do with the voice. It just, you know.
Okay, that's good. And Rudolf, I was really happy last night that you did a couple songs from the latest album, Rock Believer, because I know you put a lot of work into making that record, and you showcased it when you were here 2 years ago when it was brand new. And we did that interview out in the lobby, if you recall, you know, before you guys played.
Yeah, of course.
But that, at that time, it was brand new, and you were just starting the first residency. But I really feel like Rock Believer, for a band that's been making music as long as you have, to make a record that strong, and it holds up so well, I think it's important you keep promoting that record and letting people know about it. And you have two songs in the set now, right?
Yeah, of course. And the point was with Rock Believer, and that's the reason why this album became so successful, is that this time Klaus came with lyrics to me and said, Rudolf, here, this package of lyrics, can you do something? Can you try to do something with it, you know? And I was very surprised from the themes he was using, and inspired me very much. And I was writing actually the soundtrack for his lyrics. And that was something different for me as a composer, not starting from zero. No, here was already the lyric there, and then going from there and try to make the music under it. And that I did in Thailand, in Phuket. I have a studio there, and it was great. It was not work. It was more an adventure to create something in the studio. And that's the good thing about this album. That makes this album so fresh. And also, of course, that Mickey is in the band. He is a very extreme, powerful drummer.
Yes.
Plays, I think, 4 milliseconds up front, like I always do. And that gives the feeling like live energy. And I think that's an important point of this album. And we hope, after next chance again, to write another album and whatever. You never know.
I was going to ask you about that. You'd like to make another record? That's where I was going. Because it's funny, because the Tesla guys I just talked to about this. And then last week I was interviewing a bunch of artists that have been around longer than you guys, actually. And we talked, and everybody has a different feeling about when you're a classic artist making new music. Some people feel like, it's a waste. Nobody wants to hear it. We can't sell it. We can't get it played. And others, like I had Glenn Hughes on last week, and Glenn said to me, I don't care if nobody buys my record. I am a songwriter and a musician, and I have to make a record every year or two. So there's different thoughts about that for older artists, but it sounds like you guys are in that camp where you'd like to make a record every few years.
Yeah, when we inspired, when we played in the Olympia Stadium in Greece, it was a long time before Rock Believer. He came up, we had 63,000 people in the stadium. We was overwhelmed, and a guy from a record company and said, hey guys, you know what you have to do? You have to do an album with the old amplifier, everything like you did when you did Blackout. We said, okay, it's a great idea. Like this goes in mind, but then Klaus came with the lyrics, and that was the great kick to start with the album. And then the pandemic,
that's a different band. Yeah.
Came in.
It's a death metal band.
Came in, and we were supposed to work here in Los Angeles on the album.
Greg Fiddleman.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, and then
we couldn't travel, so we stayed home.
Yeah. And then you tried doing it on Zoom, but the time difference was just messing everyone up, right?
Already eating.
Right. Yeah. Once you record at 3 a.m, you're like, I'm sleeping, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we used the time during the pandemic to record this album. It took us like a year because we had the time. But to answer your question, it is every time you record an album, you know, you have to, you know, you spend a lot of time in the studio. And I was thinking, it's always good to make new music, but maybe we don't have to do like 12 to 15 songs every single time, but just record one or two or three. Maybe that's a way to go in the future, that you don't, you know, take yourself off the road, you know, spend time in the studio. If you have a great idea, record it, release it. That's possible.
That's
today.
Exactly what the Tesla guys said a little while ago, that they're doing singles every few months because they said it's too costly for them to come off the road and dedicate a year to doing a record, which they feel they'd need to make a really good record.
Yeah.
So there's different thoughts about it. And the way the business is now, you can really do whatever you want, whenever you want, and release it however you want.
Exactly.
So it's a different world than, of course, when you started. I'm curious, Scorpions overall, I mean, I think it's fantastic we're talking about a new album at some point, potentially. because that tells me that this band's going to be around for a while longer. Because it, Rudolph, it wasn't that long ago. I don't remember. Well, it was. It was probably 15 or so years ago. I remember you and I don't. Maybe it was Matthias and Klaus. You're in my studio in New York, and it was kind of a farewell at that point. You kind of did and said it was done.
Yeah, it was 2010.
Yeah.
We were starting the final farewell tour. Yeah.
And here we are in 2024.
But yeah, you know, you have to think about that. What we didn't know when we made this farewell tour, it was exactly the time when WhatsApp came up, when all this new technology, internet came, that people watching the Scorpions on WhatsApp and seeing young kids between 16 and 24 or whatever, and that's founding the Scorpions. So, and what was happening on the final tour, there people, this, if kids were in front of the stage. We said, what's happening here? You know, the older ones up in the balcony or whatever. And we said, hey, it's a complete new feeling on stage. So then MTV Unplugged came, and then we said, hey, we don't want. The chemistry was right. No question about this. That's a very important point in the band. The band has a great chemistry. And then you have fun when you go on the road.
That's, it's got to be fun. At the end of the day, after doing it all these decades, you got to have fun with it, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. If it's not fun, you're not doing it for the money or anything anymore. You're doing it because you're having a good time. And that comes off on stage. You can see in all of you guys the smile, the fun everybody's having. By the way, I should mention Matthias once again, because when you come to see the show here in Vegas, if you didn't see it last time or you're about to see it, and I love this town. I have a home here now, and it's one of my favorite cities, always been my favorite city. But you guys really embrace it because, Matthias, you've got some very cool Vegas-themed guitars, which one of them actually had like a slot machine in it, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Where did you get those guitars?
Oh, they were specially made. It's a coordination between my guitar maker in Germany. He sent two other guitars. We call one is the Vegas guitar. The other one is the Elvis guitar.
Yeah.
And the yellow one is the slots machine guitar. And they were airbrushed in L.A., outside of L.A. It's the famous airbrush guy for guitars. And Dan is his name. And the other one was made in England. Fantastic. And I have another one, which I didn't bring this time because it doesn't have a Vegas motif. It's the flags of all the countries we played in.
Oh, okay.
And that's 82.
All right.
And this has a compass. My friend who lives here in Vegas bought this compass it's a silver compass from 1516.
Wow.
From a very old, you know, probably from Columbus when he was
sailing. And it's in the guitar?
It's built into the guitar because you need a compass to find out in which country you want to go. So, you know, it all makes sense. It's fantastic.
That is amazing. And I thought it was, so Mickey's drum solo, by the way, speaking of Vegas, if they haven't seen it, there's a slot machine game that plays during his solo. It's fantastic. But I also wanted to mention something because I thought it was wonderful last night, Rudy, that you paid tribute to your past drummer, James Kotak, who passed away. And we haven't had a chance to speak since we lost James. And we know that I knew James very well, and it was a struggle, and he had his battles. But very tragic that we lost him. And I think it was great that you guys, you dedicated Send Me an Angel to him.
Exactly, yes.
Put his photo up of him.
Yeah.
Klaus even had the vest, which was James' back tattoo, Rock and Roll Forever. Anything you'd like to say, either of you, about James?
I mean, James is a fantastic person. We called him the brother from another mother. And it was great to play with him, and it was fantastic in the times. But when he was starting to struggle, it was hard. We had to send him to the Eric Clapton
in Antigua.
Yeah. Area. So, and we tried everything we could, but at the moment you could turn in your back around, he was already gone. And that's in the end, we was only playing to click, and we said we can't do that. And then by too bad, Lemmy died, and then Matthias had the idea to call Mickey. And we start rehearsing with him. Mickey was like great on drums. He was like, also as a person, very nice. We said, okay, we have to make a decision. And then we said, it's very hard. We can cry, but we have to stick to the future. And we tried everything. And now we make it with Mickey. And Mickey is a fantastic person as well, in a different way. He's playing more straightforward. James was a little bit more playing around a little bit, which was very nice as well. He was also a good singer for backing vocals. But, you know, it's was a time to make it change.
We lost a very good friend.
Yes, yeah. Very good friend.
Yeah. Well, the rock and roll world did, because that was the thing about James. Not only did he love being in Scorpions and love playing with whatever band, but he loved rock and roll. He loved too much.
Right.
Well, the bad things that come with it, he loved too much. But the music he loved as well. He was so passionate about it. And, you know.
Did you know that he was a great trumpet player?
Oh, I did not.
Now, I remember we were on tour in Russia before all the crap started. And there was a band playing in a hotel. They had brass. And he just, you know, I think he was drunk, but he just walked into this band, grabbed the trumpet, and started playing a solo.
Is that
amazing one? Yeah. These guys couldn't believe it.
You could have worked some trumpet into Scorpions records.
No,
who knew?
No.
We got some. I could talk to you guys forever, but I want to let the audience get in and ask you a few questions before we run out of time here. You know, I just got to say, I'm so happy the band's continuing. I'm so happy that we're here in 2024 with Scorpions tour and the run in Vegas and more stuff to come and potentially a record. So, Rudy, there's no plans, no more farewell talk for a while. This is, you just go full steam ahead.
Forever, as long we can.
As long as we could. Well, I got to say, too, both of you guys are in remarkable condition and shape. What do you do? Please tell me, how do you take care of yourself? Rudy, what are you doing over there?
You know, I started very much yoga from when I was 16, 17, you know, and I started already to take care what I eat and what I'm doing and make sport and stuff like this. But on the other hand, I was also playing rock and roll very much in my life, you know.
Human
I had
pyramid.
The yin and yang kind of situation, and sometimes too hard and too much. But anyway, I always found the middle back again. And that's the important point, that you find back to yourself, that you make the mistakes you did before, you clean them up and start going forward. And that's the way. That's the secret of my life. Everybody has his own secret.
You have a young kid, don't you?
Exactly. My kid is. I have one which is 53. That was on the beginning of the career, and now on the maybe part of the end of the career. Richie with 8 years old.
Eight? Wow. 53 and eight.
His brother. The older son, he has two kids, 16 and 19. So, and they called him an uncle. 8 years old guy.
Matthias, you have kids?
Yes, I have one son. And meanwhile, I have two grandchildren.
Two grandchildren.
Yeah, the daughter is 3 and the son 1 year old. And they come to visit to Vegas in a week from now.
Nice. I remember, Rudy, when I spoke to you and you just had your latest, your youngest. And I said to him, you remember I said to you, you're definitely going to be staying on the road for a while longer. You don't want to be 70 years old dealing with an infant.
But I tell you one thing, it's what I have is a good relationship to the school. And when we have very interesting parts, a life program to do in the world, then I can take him out of school. And my wife is teaching him because... the mother of my wife was a teacher as well, and she knows how to handle this and stuff. In this case, I can take him on the road on private jets and all this stuff, and he learns a little bit from the world and then goes back to school, and that's a good situation. I don't have to really go too long without him, because it's very nice when you have a little kid and, you know, to see the evolution of this kid. That's unbelievable. It inspires you also very much.
Sure, I'm sure. One other thing I've got to ask you, Rudolph. So last night, I'm watching the show, and Matthias is playing all these brilliant guitar solos as he plays on all these fancy, beautiful guitars, right? And there was a moment in the show, and I didn't know this. There's one song in the show, and I can't remember which one off the top of my head, where you play the solo. Which one is it?
Well, there's three of them. It's Big City Nights, Big City Nights. Still Loving You, and Coast to Coast.
Last night, it was Big City Nights, yeah. And you had a flying V, and it was between your knee, and you were playing the solo.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if I'm bringing up a sore subject, but you looked exactly like your brother, Michael.
I have the same family. No.
Well, I know, but I know that there's been some division there lately. Have you guys mended the fence?
It's from his side.
Nothing from you.
Nothing. I love him. He is a great person. I watch him since he was a baby, and I love him, and I brought him into all the bands he had in the earlier times, and took care that he is not going downhill. It's up to him. He's a very extreme person. He can't be in a band. He's not a band a person. He is an extreme, great guitar player. So, and that's a different situation.
So you guys still don't talk at the moment?
In a moment, no. I from my side, I would talk immediately. I have nothing to say. I even can't be bad with him. Because I know what the situation is where it talks from there. Uli is a complete different, Uli John Ross is a complete different person. He really realized what we did compared to what he's doing. And that was a higher range. You have to make a plan when you want to say, my brother wants to be one of the best guitar players in the world. And I said, I want to play in one of the 30 biggest rock and roll bands in the world. So that's same thing happening, but it's a different world.
Yeah. Yuli was just on this show 2 weeks ago with me, and he's on tour now playing.
And he
said wonderful things about you guys, and he talked about, you know, Matthias coming in and everything. And he's playing as we speak in America as well right now.
Cool. I know. Yeah. He was playing in San Francisco. Somebody told me it was a great concert. Very good.
Uli and I grew up together in the same area outside of Hanover.
Is that right?
Yeah, and I went to school with his younger brother, and we all started playing guitar together. I mean, Uli was already ahead a little bit, but we knew each other way before he ever joined the Scorpions.
Yeah. Amazing. That was Hanover and its surrounding. It's somehow a great place. There must be a special
Michael,
air.
Uli, the two of us.
Yeah. My question was going to be about seeing you play like that when I saw you with the V in that stance and playing the solo. And I said to myself, well, wait a minute. Rudy is the older of the brothers. Did Michael copy Rudy, or is Rudy copying Michael?
this guitar has something to play it this way, you know?
It's wedges
and
in.
I was playing before Michael this guitar. The point was that Michael, when we had to play a big festival in Höxter with us, Broughton Band and stuff, he came to me and said, we can't play. I have no guitar. I said, oh, do you have no guitar? Okay. I was going around, hurry up, and got the melody maker and said, okay, here's the guitar. Okay. Then he said, I can't play with this guitar. No? I said, give me the guitar. You take the flying V that we can do the concert. And then he came back from the concert in this festival and said, Rudolph, I can't give you back the guitar because it's too good. Sound is too good. I said, all right, you're looking much better with the guitar as a lead guitar player than me playing rhythm and play this guitar. So in this case, he was then playing this Flying V. The first Lonesome Crow, I think, was made with Les Paul.
It's amazing. The history is amazing.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's let a few, before we have about 15 minutes or so left before we have to end the show. So let's let some of your audience talk to you, because I'm sure there's a bunch of people that would love to say hi to you guys. We'll get it started with Ray in Maryland. Ray, go ahead. You're on with Matthias and Rudy from Scorpions.
Oh, thanks, Eddie, for this. Rudy, Rudolph, Matthias, love you guys. This is an honor for me. You're two of my guitar heroes, brothers.
Thank you.
All righty. Thanks.
And the first time I got to see you guys was in the summer of 1988 on the Monsters of Rock tour. And you guys, I thought, stole the show. I thought you were fantastic. And this crazy thing happened near the end of when you guys played, where everybody in the stadium started throwing food. My friend that I was with got pelted in the face with a mustard-loaded hot dog, and it got crazy. We ended up... Yeah.
Food's expensive at shows. I don't know why people would throw food or beer. It's a lot of money at a concert. You're wasting
well,
money, but go ahead, Ray.
Back then, it wasn't so bad, and the ticket was $25, and of course, that was Kingdom Come, Metallica, Dokken, Scorps, Van Halen, so it was a pretty good deal. But it got so crazy during Van Halen, we left about two-thirds through during their set because people started fires. It was at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C., and it was just crazy. I figured, I don't know how much of that you saw, because it started toward the end of your set, but it happened before Van Halen came on, and it got really crazy. It's just a fond memory for me. And I just wanted to thank both of you for the great music that you've given us over the years, guys. And I'm glad you're still making music, which is really cool. So just thanks for everything, guys.
Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. Right, yeah. You guys, yeah. That tour, story. That tour in 88, the Monsters of Rock tour, exactly. Was legendary, and still people still talk about it, as you can see with Ray. What are your memories of it, and did you have much interaction with Eddie Van Halen at that time?
I mean, we're by the way, in 1996, my brother called me, 76, yeah, 76, called me and said, Rudolph, why are you guys not playing in America? And you know, well, yeah, we want, but this is, we can't. Yeah, but here it's a band playing around called Van Halen. They're playing your stuff. Speed is coming and Catch a Train. And then,
oh, they were playing early,
yes,
Scorpions,
exactly.
Van Halen early on. Yeah.
So, and then when we met, when we was running each other, this was already before in Hamburg at CCIH when they opened up for Black Sabbath. And we went backstage and we had then a party for David Lee Roth's birthday. They came, David came and, hey, Catch a Train and stuff. I mean, we somehow became friends because they're coming from Los Angeles and we are from Germany. That was a completely crazy mixture. And we are still good friends.
We spent a lot of time in Eddie's studio. He played us the new stuff. In 1988, we had Savage Amusement just released, so we played it to them in their studio also. And during the tour, I spent a lot of time with Eddie because we happened to have the hotel rooms always on the same floor, almost. Always on the same floor. And we're sitting together. He showed me how to empty the see-through liquor in the minibars. like vodka.
Like refill it so you don't get billed for it?
And
oh,
gin,
how to just empty it, drink it all.
Yeah, no, drink it and refill it with tap water and close the...
Oh,
the,
so you didn't get billed.
Yeah.
So then whoever took the room next poured tap water out of a gin bottle.
Yeah, had a break from gin.
So Eddie Van Halen had a way to reseal the bottle to make it look like it hadn't been tampered
that's
with.
That's what he showed me. And also, I mean, he showed me also like the drop D tuning and how he created his riffs. And we are sitting together with guitars.
Wow, that had to be amazing.
It was great. He was a very nice guy.
That's what, you know, of course, everybody says. From a guitar player standpoint, though, Rudy, your brother was probably here touring with UFO, I would think, at the time. And then he sees Van Halen and hears about him in the club playing old songs. And then when you first heard him, you heard Eddie play, were you like, what's going on?
That's crazy. The reason why we went in Hamburg, CCH, to see Van Halen open up for Black Sabbath. Né? And we was blowing away.
The first album was amazing.
Yeah. That was really a time killer.
Yeah, when Van Halen opened for Sabbath on that first, for Van Halen's first tour, that's legendary because Sabbath was falling apart at the time. And they were hanging on by a thread and already done at that time. And then you had this young band coming out, and for them to follow Van Halen at that time, impossible. On that Monsters of Rock show, the guys in Dokken talked about how difficult it was to follow Metallica, because they, on that tour, they were going on after Metallica.
Yes.
And Dokken was killing each other and Metallica was about to explode. And there is a story that Don or George even went to the promoter and said, maybe we should flip flop because we don't want to go on after that. Yeah. Did you guys have any idea on that tour that Metallica would go on to be what they are?
No, we never heard about that, but we had a great spot on the Monsters of Rock. It's tough for what was tough for Van Halen or for anybody at like a festival situation like this to be the last, because people are tired.
Yes,
and they heard like 4, 5, 6 bands already.
Yes,
so but we were always, you know, it was always outdoor stadiums. We started when the light changed. You know, it was just about to get dark. And then, you know, you have that effect of the twilight and then the light show kicks in. And that's, you know, before it's getting too late. So we looked very good at 1988 at the Monsters of Rock tour.
Yeah. Even now, I know there's marquee value in saying you're the last band, the headliner. But these festivals now, 50 bands in one day or something, I just look at the lineup, I get tired. I was like, too old for that. But if you think about it, I always say to the bands, I think the second to last or third to last spot is the best spot. The sun's in a little bit.
Yeah.
People aren't burnt out and there's still a lot of energy. Let's get another call on. Matthias and Rudolph are here. We are live from Vegas on Trunk Nation, 844-686-5863. If you want to say hi to the guys, we'll go to Florida. Tommy joins us live right now. Tommy, you're on with the guys. Go ahead.
Oh, my God. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are like heroes. I love your... I went to one of your concerts down here in Florida, like maybe 2002. It was one of my all-time favorite concerts. So I just want to thank you for that. My question for you is this. When I watch your videos, even now, it looks like you guys are having so much fun. Like the Big City Nights video, I love that video. And what was it like to make the Rhythm of Love video? Because there's a lot of good-looking women in that video. You guys must have had a blast.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic.
That's one of my favorite videos of all time. Rudy, Rudy's got a look on it. I'll shut up after this, but you've got a look on your face in that video like you're having a really good time. You're making that thing.
We try to make the best out of it, you know?
Rudy had 3 more kids after that video.
It looks like it. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for making all the great music. I'll let you go. You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much, Tommy. The videos were fun. I mean, you guys look, I mean, it's always funny to me because I think back and a lot of the stories between us too, because years ago, like 15 years ago, I remember you guys first started touring over here again. And I don't know, you probably don't remember this, but you played a place in Oklahoma and I hosted the show. It was a festival and it was a zoo. There was a zoo behind the backstage. It was called the Zoo Amphitheater. It's still there, Oklahoma City. But then it was people were still kind of re-embracing your music again. You were still trying to figure it out because I don't know if you guys recall, I was there and you called me back in the dressing room and you were talking to me like, Eddie, what's going on, you know, in America? Like, people call us hair band, but we started in the 70s. We don't know what all this is. And I said, yeah, you know, we're still trying to get past all that nonsense. And we were talking about it. And, you know, in America, as you know, you guys broke on Blackout and that's what people know you for. But the history of the band goes back so much further than that. And then you break in America when this thing MTV is taking off and suddenly you're in this position where you've got to make these videos. And some of them, you look like you were having fun on all of them, but some of them were very much of the time, you know, let's just say, in terms of what you were doing. And they cost a lot of money, too. Did you enjoy making all those videos?
I mean, I think when he's talking about girls, the most fun was leaving you, no?
Oh, yeah. We always had girls. That was like an 80s thing, you know. You had to have girls. And the director, Marty Corner, he was the specialist, you know.
Yeah.
But the Rhythm of Love video, we have that great actress Joan Severance in there. The one that is in that movie, See No Evil, Hear No Evil. A very funny movie from the 80s, I think, with Richard Pryor. And one guy's blind, the other guy's deaf. And those two together, you know, drive a car around. The blind guy drives. It's a funny movie. And she looks stunning.
Yeah, yeah. It's even if you go see the show here in Vegas, which I suggest you doing. And again, Scorpions are here through the early May. So you have plenty of time to get here and see a show. Check the schedule because they don't play every night. There's like two or three shows a week. But make sure you come out and inside Planet Hollywood in the theater, you can see the guys. But when I was watching Still Loving You when you played it, you had a beautiful image of a woman, like a silhouette up there behind the screen.
Yes, of course.
Let me ask you, speaking of images, Scorpions album covers are legendary. We're celebrating 40 years of Love at First Sting. What's the story of that album cover? Who are those people? Are they just models or are they somebody famous or who came up with that concept?
They are models and the photographer is the star. Helmut Newton, unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, but he's one of the greatest photographers of all time. And he had the idea. I mean, Klaus is a little bit our cover person. Yeah. He was in personal contact with Helmut Newton all the time, and they worked that out.
Because over the course of the band's history, whether it was Love Drive, which in America had an alternate cover, Virgin Killer earlier.
Hypnosis was very, very, very famous designers.
Hypnosis.
Yes.
Yeah, right. There's a documentary on Hypnosis that I just watched, actually, of making those covers. But was Love at First Sting's cover ever censored? Was it altered? Because I know some of the others were, but did they ever do an alternate on that?
I mean, in some countries. We have so many countries.
Yes.
Yeah. We played live concerts in around 80 countries around the world, you know. And it could be possible in one of the countries that
the Emirates, for example.
Yeah.
You know, those, they are very sensitive about that.
You've played all over the world for over 50 years. And again, Scorpions internationally, one of the biggest bands. Is there any part of this world that you have yet to play that you'd like to? Rudy, start with you.
I think one country which we didn't play and which we always liked to play was South Africa. But this was time when we had a chance to play there, that there was the apartheid. And we didn't want to interfere in this situation. But South Africa would be a great place which we haven't played so far.
Anything for you, Matthias?
Oh, yeah, it's South Africa. But meanwhile, we played obviously all five continents. We played almost everywhere. And there was talk last time we were in New Caledonia. Everybody knows where that is.
And I have no clue.
Exactly. That is like even further away than New Zealand. It's about like 12 hours south of Tokyo. And we played there a few times. Great place. And it's a French territory, by the way.
And, oh, wow.
And so this promoter, he suggested we do like a tour on all those Fiji islands and, you know, Tahitis and whatever is in the area to make a nice combination of a vacation and play music to those people. And in Fiji, he said, we could get 10,000 people easily. I didn't expect that. But that is something. Since we heard about it, we thought about it, and so let's see when this could be possible.
We're using the music as a bridge between different cultures, different continents, and then at the end. And our theme is love, peace, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
Love stands for still loving you, peace for winter of change, and rock and roll for rocking like a hurricane.
Yeah, yeah. Before I run out of time, you're going to be here in Vegas for about a month. your second time here in a couple of years doing this residency. What do you have a good amount of nights off every week. You take a good rest, which is understandable. What do you like to do here in town, in this city, when you have a night off? Restaurants, gamble, what do you do? Shows, what do you do?
The shows would be good. I would like to see the Sphere from
the inside. Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think tomorrow I'm going to a Drexler race. And there's always something to do in Vegas. That's the main thing.
Too much.
You know, never
get in a lot of
moment.
Trouble. Yeah. You got to pace yourself.
Better than get bored, you know. That's the point. If you have something to do, it's always good to be inspired with new things. And I think that's better than hanging somewhere and don't know what to do.
Yeah. Do either of you gamble?
No, we don't.
No.
So, yeah.
I did only once in India, in Sikkim, up in mountains. And I made money, but because I got the billets, and I didn't know what to do, because next time was Christian Carambeau, a soccer player from France, and some other, because I had a charity thing to do. And I didn't know what to do with it. And I saw one guy, he came, a local guy, and said, "Come on, I don't know how to do it." No? And he said, "Oh, we can play together. Okay, let's do it." And what was happening, when we finished, we had this many billions. What to do with it?
You made a lot of money.
Yes, but we gave it to the hospital for kids.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah,
because, you know, I don't want to be connected with gambling, because it's not easy to
just keep the money. Well, you see how beautiful this casino we're in right now, the Wynn is, right? Yeah. You know how that was built from all the people that didn't know to stop.
Yeah.
You know, the people that are still doing it.
Yeah,
they're
the
ones that built these places.
I play enough guitar. Right. I don't need to play with the money.
Guys, I can't thank you enough for coming by. It's always fantastic to see you. And the show is great. Congratulations. I'm glad Scorpions are going to keep going. And everybody come to Vegas and see Love at First Sting played it in its entirety. Bunch of other great tunes as well in the set. And again, they'll be here through early May, and then we'll see what happens after that and what's announced next. Matthias Rudolph, thank you so much.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, because it's always great to do interviews with you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Well, thanks to Klaus and Matthias. It was great to break in that new studio in Vegas with those guys, and we'll be doing more from there in the coming months, weeks, years, whatever the case may be. Whenever there's some cool guests in Vegas, we'll wrangle them and get them to that brand new cool facility at the SiriusXM Studios inside the Wynn Casino in Vegas. And I will keep you guys posted on more activity there, because you can come by and watch and listen if you like. If you happen to be in town when I do some of this stuff, you can look through the glass and you can hear the audio on the outside as well, which is pretty cool. But it was great to break it in with Matthias and Rudy. And again, their residency continues through early May inside Planet Hollywood at the Bakkt Theater. Follow me on social media at Eddie Trunk. You can do that on X, Instagram, or my page on Facebook for more info and updates. You guys have a great rest of your week. Back next Thursday for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.